Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not going to try to list all of the television shows I've never watched. But there's one that comes to mind as I read today's gospel reading, and that is a show called Undercover Boss. I've never watched it. But as I understand it, the concept is that a boss comes to work at some place of business among the employees anonymously. They don't know who this boss is, but the boss is concerned to see what's going on, how they're treating people, how the business is doing, and that's basically the concept. And I thought of that because the boss is sort of like it in disguise. And disguises don't only happen at Halloween. Today we hear of someone who comes in a variety of disguises. That is Christ our King. And that brings up a question for us, I think, and that is, have you seen the King? And you can only say, well, how would I know? If that woman in prison or that mentally ill man on the street may be the prince, if that man driving sheep may be the king, how can you know? In the Black Forest of Germany, above the door of a tiny chapel outside the village of Illingen, are three skulls set in mortar with the words, "Sag mir beschauer, wer war König, wer Bettler, wer Bauer?" Tell me, viewer, which was a king, which a beggar, which a farmer? The naked eye cannot tell. And when we think about it, all of those stories, and for that matter, even the TV show, there's a kind of double point, because those serve to kind of unmask royalty, and on the other hand, to dignify and elevate every person, every stranger, every beggar, which is the message of the gospel reading. Anyone we meet may be the king, or at least a representative of the king. And in the king's eyes, the way we treat them will be seen as the way we would treat the king. Our traditions call today Christ the King, or in some traditions, the reign of God. The gospel reading is the parable of the Last Judgment. And it sets two questions before us. What did it mean then? And what does it mean for us today? What it was told, friends, when the author of the gospel wrote it down, it was a story about how the followers of Jesus are treated in the world. Did you catch the words, as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family? The Gospel of Matthew, as the other Gospels, tells of a time when the followers of Jesus were a small community, finding their way in a very big world and a very big empire. Then and now, when the followers of Jesus are out in the world, the Lord knows and cares what happens to them, what happens to us. But when we think of the whole New Testament and of Christians in the larger world, the text also concerns how Christians treat others, how people treat people, how God sees the world and the human family. When we call this day the reign of God, when we say Christ is King, remember his words, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. We remember the other words of Jesus, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. The words of the book of James may come to mind, faith without works is dead. To say that God reigns, friends, is to say that we are people under authority. We are not the final judge of our own lives. The way we live each day with God and neighbor is important. I'm sure you've noticed in these recent weeks and months how the coronavirus has turned our world on its head. Those who are low on the wealth and income scale, we now call essential workers. Those who can't avoid being in contact with others. Workers in healthcare, in food service, ambulance crews, grocery clerks and stockers, immigrants working to harvest crops, meat packers, and on and on. People among us who are more privileged can avoid contact with others, can isolate and quarantine. Well, you get the picture. We might even hear the text a little differently in this time of pandemic. I know I do, having been in the hospital for 3 days with COVID. To read, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was sick and you took care of me. Friends, blessed are the members of the Johnson County Health Care Center staff. We say that faith alone saves, but faith is never alone. Faith comes to life in love. As you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Have you seen the king? Well, the funny thing is, it doesn't matter. In the parable, no one saw the king. Both groups, the blessed and the cursed, have the same response. Lord, when did we see you? One group seems to say, you must be mistaken. We were just helping where help was needed. And the other group seems ready to cry foul. If you would have identified yourself, we would have been happy to lend a hand. But all we ever saw were those who are unworthy, the crooks and the bums and the beggars in this world. Throughout the Gospels, some people recognize Jesus, but most do not. Jesus, the king who washes feet, the child king pursued by Herod, the humble king with nowhere to lay his head. He is the serving king who feeds the multitude, who has compassion for the poor and the sick. So I think this parable asks you and me, have we learned from Jesus? Have we been touched, our lives affected by Christ? Believing in Jesus, do we follow him? Have caring and serving and giving become our lifestyle? In this parable, it seems to me the blessing is for people who are simply humane humans. People who weren't even aware of serving Christ. And for us, the point might be that it is to be our nature as people who do know Christ, to do no less in response to the needs of our neighbors throughout the world. Where might you have seen the king in disguise? Or one of his representatives? Perhaps that one homeless man that we saw often in Phnom Kimse in Germany. The man who carried a cloth bag, wore a skirt, walked around muttering to himself and shouting at others. I think I met him at an airport. The refugee who was wearing flip-flops in winter, who had no coat and carried all his worldly goods in one paper sack. Perhaps the king has been at the door or on the phone asking for food or lodging, asking to have her utility bill paid. He is in the people we serve through our taxes, World Hunger Offerings, Habitat for Humanity. I'll confess, friends, maybe like you, I have met him sometimes with patience and compassion, sometimes with impatience and frustration. Now he says, as you did it to the least of these, it's a struggle. Whenever I help, I wonder if I've been a sucker. When I refuse, I wonder if I have turned away my Lord. All the circumstances Jesus talks about are still with us. Hunger, thirst, nakedness, and all the rest. And they don't get solved with $5 donations. You know, we would be glad to visit the innocent imprisoned, help the deserving poor, good people who have suffered the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. But did you notice Jesus says nothing at all about the credentials of the needy? He just talks about people it would be easy to dismiss. People, God's creation, our sisters and brothers for us to notice and care about. But I've been talking about dramatic situations, and I should be clear that the reign of God can also be seen in very simple and ordinary places. Take Fred Johnson. He was a member of our congregation and a grade school principal. He loved telling about the time he went to observe a young classroom teacher, seeing him in the room and wanting to impress both him and her students. He said, who is the most important man in our school? The kids named the custodian. The person who greeted them in the hallway. The person who helped the teacher. The person who cleaned the floors. The person they saw being kind and helpful to them, the children. Fred understood that, and he appreciated their wisdom. Friends, we know God reigns in heaven, in the greatest and most ultimate places and events. The question is whether God reigns in us, in our lives, our daily decisions, our daily interactions with others. Will his reign be present in the world through us, visible in our relationship to all we are sent to serve? Amen.